I thought to consider some of the questions of Jesus while we're together, and there's one question found in the fifth chapter of John that is appropriate for this morning's worship. It's a strange question. It's a very interesting story, and I don't know what to make of it. A pool of water that is stirred by an angel, and the first one in gets healed. Sounds like something out of the Catholic Church. My Catholic grandmother used to tell me a lot of stories, and I never saw them in the Bible. Maybe they were in the Catholic Bible, or maybe she learned them from the priest. Well, that's why. She told me about the, some man that traveled by donkey to a village, and, something happened to the donkey, and they turned its leg backwards, and got to the next village, and when they saw the donkey's leg was backwards, they made him a saint. So stories like that made a deep impression upon me growing up, you can be sure. And the Bible doesn't give much explanation about this, whether this actually took place or whether it was actually an angel that came down. It just states it here, tells the story. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep gate or market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. And that speaks of the mercy of God, house of mercy, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. He stirred the waters. Whosoever then first entered after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Sounded like a laugh. It was just something in my throat. There was this pool of water, and they say that someone, out of the kindness of his heart, built these five porches around the pool where these sick people could lay, waiting for the stirring of the water that indicated that the angel was present, the healing angel was present. And again, that may have been just some unusual manifestation of God's mercy to people, or I don't know. But that's not the point of the story, so we can't get caught up with that as much as we'd like to. And here it talks about those that were lying around the pool. These were the ones that had trouble getting in, wouldn't they? The blind. Where is that pool anyway? And the paralyzed. They couldn't get there on their own. They needed help. And the lame, right? It says that there was a man that had an infirmity for 38 years. That's a long time. Isn't it? Do you know what 38 years is yet? You know the number, but you don't know it by experience. There are a lot of people that are sick for a long time. And that that complicates things on our part. Because after being sick so long, you get used to that. It just becomes a normal way of life to you. After a while, sometimes somehow you lose your fight, you lose your hope. You think, if I haven't gotten healed by now, I'll never get healed. And so you stop reaching out for healing. You begin to let your sickness define you. And I'm tempted to think that was the case with this man. Jesus saw the most hopeless case there. And he approached that man. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case. See, that seems to come into play. Jesus particularly was drawn to this man because he was in such a desperate, hopeless condition. Sick for 38 years. And he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to be healed? I read something here. No doubt, the many disappointments and the long years of waiting and of suffering had stamped apathy upon the sufferer's face. And Christ saw that the first thing that was needed in order that his healing power might have a point of contact in the man's nature was to kindle some flicker of hope in him once more. Are you willing to be made healed, to be made whole? Do you have any hope in you? Are you used to that condition? You know, some people don't want to be healed. That sounds strange. I guess it depends on the severity of your illness. But they get a lot of attention when they're sick. And they don't have to go to work. They can collect disability. And sometimes you really wonder, do you want to be made whole? And then there are some, as we said, that are so given up hope. It's just been disappointed for so long, and that they just don't feel like they could be healed anymore. They don't have the strength to even reach out for it. They don't want to believe and then be disappointed again. They can hardly bear the thought of that. But when Jesus approached him and said, "Do you want to be made whole?" Well, of course, these were the words of Jesus, and there must have been some flow of life or faith or something in those words. But Jesus was trying to stir up hope in him. Jesus was offering something to him. And he said, "Well, Lord, there's no man to get me to the water. When the waters get stirred, everybody steps in before me." And then Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, Jesus told him the very thing that he couldn't do. You don't tell a person that can't stand, stand. But that's exactly what Jesus did. And of course, virtue must have entered into him at that moment. Faith rose up somehow. And through the power of Christ's word, life, as he stepped out to obey what Jesus had commanded him to do, he found that the power of God enabled him. And he was immediately healed, and healed to such an extent that he could take up his bed now and walk and carry that bed. And the healing was perfect. It wasn't just a little touch, but now he needed a lot of therapy to get his strength back and so on. But it was a complete healing, and he was able to walk after not having walked for 38 years and take up his bed. Problem was, it was on the Sabbath day, and so he had many critics that found fault with what he was doing, and they couldn't see the miracle because of their critical spirit. And they asked him who did this, and he didn't really know. And eventually the Lord connected with him again and revealed himself more perfectly. If people are willing to be made whole, the work is half done. For Christ is willing to heal, if we be but willing to be healed. Matthew chapter 8 is a story that was referred to in one of the songs that we just sang. And that's a story of the healing of the leper. Matthew 5, 6, 7, we call the Sermon on the Mount. And then we get into chapter 8, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." In the story that we just read, Jesus said, "Are you willing to be made whole? Are you willing to be healed?" In this story, the man is saying, "Jesus, are you willing to heal me?" That's the other half, the other side of the coin. If you wilt, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. You know, we see every indication in the Bible that God is willing to heal, that this is his desire for his people. Brother Dale, in his prayer the other day, referred to healing as the children's bread, that it's something that ought to be common and is available to God's children. And expression comes from the story of the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus asking that he would heal her daughter. She was grievously tormented by an evil spirit. And Jesus said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And then she came back with that wonderful response, "But Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." But here Jesus was saying healing is the children's bread. When Brother Dale prayed that, I thought, what father of you, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? I mean, even we know that when our child is in need and they ask for bread, we want to meet that need. We want to satisfy that hunger. And when we ask the Lord for healing, we're asking for the children's bread. Will he give us a stone? Will he give us a serpent? No, but here the indication is that God wants to heal. Well, some people say, "Well, I don't see a lot of people healed anymore. So I got a good idea. Let's change the Bible. Let's say that God doesn't heal anymore because we don't see it, like we read about in the Bible, so he must have changed his mind somewhere. Or it must have just been for the days of the apostles. It was a sign to show that they were approved of God and that they were his messengers. And now the days of the apostles are over, and so God stopped healing." Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. But because I'm not experiencing it, I'm going to interpret the Bible based on my experience or lack thereof. Well, let's find a Bible verse. We can find a verse in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, "When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." And that must be speaking about the canon of Scripture. When the Bible is completely written, then we don't need these miracles anymore because we have the Word of God. Well, tell that to a sick person, that we don't need that anymore, that we just have the written word of God and that should be enough to us. There's no place in the Bible that you can find where God says the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the miracles of the Holy Spirit, were just for the days of the apostles, just as confirming signs of their ministry, and that they came to an end somewhere along the way. There's no place. If you honestly, with an open heart, just look at the Scriptures, you can't find it. I was listening to Mike Brown. He's a minister, comes from Long Island. I know he was ministering out there for a while. And he said, "You know, I went to a seminary and I was surrounded by a lot of people that were cessationists. They didn't believe in the gifts. They believed that they had ceased. And they're not for today. Oh, on occasion, God will heal somebody or do something supernatural, but that's not the norm. That's not really to be expected. That would be a pleasant surprise when God does that." And he said, you know, he began to lean in that direction. They sounded so intellectual, and they were so insistent that they're basing everything on the Bible. and that all these people that believe in healing and so on are just a bunch of emotional fanatics. And so he started leaning that way. He said, but something stopped. He could not buy into that because of the Word of God. He said, when I would read the Word of God, the Bible was full of healing. And he said, it was the Word of God that stopped him from believing that the gifts were only for the days of Christ and the apostles. He couldn't find that anywhere, that statement. In James chapter 5, it says, is any afflicted among you? That's verse 13. Is any afflicted? The NIV says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Well, that's certainly applicable to today, isn't it? You ever get into trouble? And you pray. That's not just for the days of the apostles, I'm sure. And then he goes on. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Well, that's certainly for today as well. When God blesses us, we sing songs of praise to him. And that's the proper response. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, that one's for the days of the apostles. Verse 13 is good for us, but verse 14 is over. Sorry. Does that make any sense? Is that good Bible interpretation? I don't think so. We have no right to separate that, put it in its own compartment. Well, let's look at some of things of what the Bible has to say about healing before we pray for some of you. Exodus 15, way back in the book of Exodus, God told us something about himself that he wanted us to know. Nobody asked him. He introduced this himself. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? This is verse 24, Exodus 15. They had come to a place where there was no drinkable water. And they were very thirsty. And of course, that was a tremendous concern to them. These were, here, thousands of people, maybe a million or so. And they're out in the wilderness, and if they have no water, they're not going to survive. And so they complained or they grumbled against Moses. What did you bring us out here for? There's no water out here. We're all going to die. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. That doesn't mean like sugar, I'm sure. That means purified. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he tested them. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then they came to a place where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the waters. God told him to take a tree and throw it into the water, and the waters will become sweet. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, the Bible tells us. And it's right, I'm sure, to understand that tree as a symbol of Calvary, the tree where Jesus hung and suffered, shed his precious blood for us. And there are other scriptures that point us to Calvary in connection with healing. And they took that tree, and there they cast it into the waters, and the waters were healed, and they could drink, and their need could be met, their thirst quenched. But then God makes this statement. He uses this opportunity to make a statement. I want you to know this about me. I am the Lord that heals you. And I will not put the diseases upon you that I put upon these Egyptians, those plagues that I sent, and so on. If you will walk in my commandments, if you will follow my word, obey my word, I will manifest myself as your healer. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be perfect, that we can't make any mistakes in order to be healed. But the Lord is wanting us to see our need of cleansing, our need of walking in the fear of God, taking His word seriously. You know, God doesn't want us to have an attitude, I can live any way I want to, and when I'm sick, God will heal me. No, God heals us so that we can serve Him. He doesn't heal us so we can go into the world and start afresh, living for the flesh and serving the devil. And of course, we, and as New Testament believers, understand that Jesus has fulfilled the law for us, and that we are righteous in Him. And through my relationship with Jesus and my trusting in Calvary, God sees me as righteous in His eyes. And so we are candidates for healing because we are children of God and because we take the Word of God seriously and we want to honor and please Him in all we do. Praise God. Psalm 103 is one that certainly comes to mind. Well, let's do it this way. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Well, this way you won't be turning forward and backward. Deuteronomy 28 talks about all the diseases that the people dealt with. And it's referred to as the curse of the law. God says that if you obey me, you diligently hearken to my voice, observe my commandments that I command you this day, then God lists all the blessings that He will pour out upon them as a nation. They'll be blessed in the city, they'll be blessed in the field, and He'll bless their children, the fruit of their body, and so on. He'll bless their crops, and He'll protect them from their enemies and give them victory, and so on. But then He speaks about the curses, verse 15. But if it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe all His commandments and statutes, I will, which I command thee, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the field, and your basket and so on shall be cursed in the fruit of thy body. And then he lists some rather frightening and things that will come upon them. The Lord will make pestilence to cleave upon thee, in verse 21, until it had consumed thee from off the land. The Lord will smite thee with consumption and fever, inflammation, extreme burning, the sword and blasting and mildew, and so on. And you'll be the tail instead of the head. And He'll hold back the rain and so on. And I think it mentions here, and all the other diseases that are not mentioned in this list. Moreover, all these curses, verse 45, shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because you didn't hearken to the voice of the Lord and keep His commandments. And it's unfortunate because we see that the children of Israel, when they entered the promised land, it wasn't long before they began to break the commandments of God, and God had to lift His hand of protection, and they did suffer many of those things. The physical diseases that came upon them, the plagues that broke out, as well as as well as the other afflictions from their enemies. Verse 60, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave to thee also every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law. Them will the Lord bring upon thee until you be destroyed. Well, that's not very encouraging until you get to Galatians. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. And this is God's answer to that problem. Galatians 3:13. Someone have it? 3:13, Galatians.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Thank you. And then it goes on to speak about the blessing of Abraham, which is the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We had broken the commandments of God, and we deserved to have the curse of God upon our lives, to suffer all the diseases and all the afflictions that are listed there, and more, diseases that had not yet been discovered or written in that book of the law. But here God tells us Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. He took that curse upon himself. He became a curse for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, and that we might know the blessing of Abraham, the outpouring of God's Spirit, the life, the living waters that flow from the throne of God. And so we're not under the curse of the law, but Christ has redeemed us from it. Now let's turn to Psalm 103 and somebody can read for us those first few verses when you find it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Blessed the Lord, my soul, and forgot not all his benefits. For who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who covet thee in loving kindness and in tender mercies.
That's good there, Steve. Thank you. I know you'd like to read the whole thing. It's getting better all the time. But who redeems thy life from destruction and crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Praise God. Healing isn't about anything we earn or deserve. It's the mercy of God, the kindness of God. It's the thing that he has provided. It flows from his nature. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And when God finds someone that is in need and that is sincere in their walk with God and so on, he certainly reaches in their direction. Isaiah 53, we have to look at that, of course. Isaiah chapter 53, put your finger there, and now turn, let's read there. Take your finger away. Okay. Verse 4, 5, let's read those. Who can do that for us? Isaiah 53, 4 and 5.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Praise God. Surely. There's a few places in the Bible where God says, surely, surely I have seen the affliction of my people and have come down to deliver them. Of course I see what they're going through. I haven't forgotten them. I know their grief. I've come to bring deliverance. And here he says, surely, while Jesus was dying on that cross, and many people thought that he must be a terrible sinner. Look, he's under the curse of God. He's hanging on a cross, the most horrible, shameful way to die, between two other criminals. We thought he was afflicted of God. We thought he was being punished for some terrible thing that he must have done. But now we see through different eyes and we see surely he was wounded for our transgressions. bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings me peace with God was put upon Jesus. And by his stripes, by these wounds, that word stripes also means wounds. It's not, we think of the stripes as the marks on his back that were caused by that Roman scourge, but all of these wounds, by his wounds, by these stripes, we were healed. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's talking about spiritual healing. We were healed from our sins, forgiven and cleansed. And I'm sure that's absolutely included. We know that. This is the way in which God brought salvation to us, the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing and so on. It was through the sacrifice of Jesus. But let's turn back to Matthew chapter 8, where we read about that leper. Matthew put things in categories. He was a bookkeeper, and he kept good books, and he organized things in a very orderly way, we find. And here in the 8th chapter of Matthew, we see a number of conditions that Jesus healed. Leprosy was a disease of the blood, I understand. And there are many other blood diseases that people suffer, leukemia and so on. And we know that Jesus was willing, more than willing, if we could say it that way. He responded immediately to that request to be healed. And Jesus could have just spoken a word, but that leper hadn't experienced a human touch in a long time. Everyone was afraid to touch him, to even get near him. And so Jesus, in his great love and mercy, just stretched out his hand and touched him. And he was made whole. And then we read about paralysis and pain in verse, the next story there. There was a centurion that came, my servant, verse 6, lies at home, sick of the palsy, paralyzed and grievously tormented in terrible suffering. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, you don't even have to come. He said, you're a man under authority. I see the way you live. You know how to take orders. And because you are under authority, you have been given authority. I know how that works in the military. And so just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled at his faith. And so it was that the servant was healed. Paralysis and terrible suffering. And then we read about a fever. Peter's mother-in-law, verse 14, in the Gospel of Luke, you know, Luke was a doctor, and he adds little details, and he says that she had a great fever, something very serious, especially in those days when they didn't really have any treatment for those things, I guess. But she had a great fever, Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them, ministered unto them. So there was an immediate healing and then a strengthening that followed that enabled her to get up and minister and serve. Praise God. And then it goes on in verse 16. Can someone read 16 and 17 for me? Who's got it?
When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoke by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Okay, so here now, Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying that all of these physical healings that Jesus performed was a fulfillment of the prophecy, the word of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. He himself took our sicknesses and carried our pains. It was not limited to just spiritual healing, healing of the soul, that was included. But this also indicates that that Jesus, through his atonement, had provided physical healing for our bodies. and all those that were sick were brought to him, and he healed every one. You can't help but be impressed with that in the Bible. Every one that came to Jesus for healing was healed. And every sickness, every disease, all included. Let's look at one more verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And then we'll pray. Stick with me, whoever you are. That always does the preacher good. Keeps him humble, right? Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2. And toward the end of that chapter, it speaks of the suffering of Christ. And Christ suffered for us, verse 21, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we are as sheep, were as sheep going astray, but now we return to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And there again, that would indicate spiritual healing. We've returned now to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. But we also see that that healing involves physical healing. Praise God. Now, sometimes people are sick because they've sinned. And because they've broken God's commandment, sickness has come upon them. There are diseases like that that you bring upon yourself because you smoke too much, or maybe you live in a moral life and the diseases are a result of that. And there's places in the Bible where Jesus says, okay, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. That's what Jesus said to that man that was healed at the pool of Bethesda. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. There was some indication that this was a result of a lifestyle or a sin that he had committed. And we read about that man that his friends broke up the roof. He was paralyzed, and they lowered him before Jesus. The first thing Jesus said to him is, your sins are forgiven you. That was the most important thing at the moment, that his sins be forgiven. And then he who had the power to forgive sins said, take up your bed and walk. And so immediately that same word that had the power to forgive sins raised him up physically. The Bible tells us that God has redeemed us body, soul, and spirit. He's not just concerned about our spirits, and he's going to get the spirits up to heaven one day and let the bodies rot in the grave. But there's coming a day when even our very physical bodies will be raised. They have been redeemed. They have been bought with the blood of Jesus. And what a wonderful day that will be when these bodies are raised up from the graves and reunited with our spirits to live forever in the presence of the Lord. Change so that we can live forever. No more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, no more getting old, no more getting tired. But our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious resurrected body. And we shall forever be with the Lord. And then there's one other verse in Romans that tells us, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that spirit that raised up Christ from the dead will bring life to your physical, your mortal body through the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that ultimately is speaking about the change that will take place at the coming of the Lord, when our bodies will be changed, raised and changed. But that spirit that is going to raise up these bodies already lives inside us. And he is there to bring life to these mortal bodies of ours. And so we can have faith. Healing is a taste of the resurrection. It's part of God's plan for us, and God wants us to believe for it. And so, if any are sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, And it went on to say, if you've committed sins, they will be forgiven. It's always right when you come to God for healing that first of all you look into your heart and say, Lord, now, if there's anything that I've done to bring this upon me, or if I'm just not living in a way that honors you as I ought to, Lord, forgive me. If you're conscious of some sin, if God has put his finger on something, bring it to the Lord. Bring it under the blood. Make it right with God. And then look up and expect that as you're prayed for and anointed with oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, that life-giving Spirit, that God will raise you up. And then he talks about if you have confessed your faults one to another, if you're not getting along, that will hinder the flow of God's Spirit and the flow of God's life. Make things right and pray for one another that you may be healed. Sometimes the healing doesn't come immediately, but he says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we keep on praying, believing God. If I see something in the Bible that I have not experienced or I don't see as the common experience, I don't change the Bible and say, that's not for today. I say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Give me faith. Do whatever is necessary in my life to bring me into that. And so today we're going to pray for our sister Gladys, who asked for prayer. You see her having a little difficulty getting around the campgrounds. And she asked to be anointed with oil. You know, that faith came from her. I know sometimes we advise people, maybe you should be anointed with oil, and that's good to instruct them that that's one way of God bringing healing into our life. But sometimes in church I have people say, anoint this person with oil. And they're kind of dragged up to the front and, you know, do you want to be anointed with oil? I don't know. Oh, yeah, you anoint him. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to work. When you ask to be anointed, or when you ask for the elders of the church to come, that indicates there's some faith in your heart. God put this into you. And it's not that other people are forcing you to do something that you're really not inclined to do. And so, if there are others that would like to be prayed for this morning, you're welcome to do so. Soon the young people will have to leave, and you can go while we're praying for others. That's fine with me. We'll end the service that way. But we want to come. Lord, I can't earn your healing. I don't have to pray. Lord, that person's been so good, and they've been so faithful. Lord, you really, please heal them. They're just such a blessing in the church. That has nothing to do with it, really. If we start thinking that way, we'll always find a reason not to be healed. But if we say, Jesus, your sacrifice was perfect. You redeemed me from the curse of the law. Father, your Spirit lives within me. Healing is the children's bread. It's just something that you want to minister freely among those that have been washed in your blood. And I humbly come to you, Lord. Not looking at myself, but looking to Jesus. Jesus who paid it all. And I come in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, you may be the one today that God will manifest his glory. Did this man sin or his parents that he was born blind? Someone asked Jesus, or maybe Jesus asked them. Anyway, Jesus said, neither. But this condition was allowed that the glory of God might be revealed in this man. And then he went and healed him. And God was glorified. That God may be glorified. God is glorified in our healing. It's for his glory. I should end with this before we sing and pray. There was a Pastor Blumhardt in Germany many years ago. I don't remember the specific dates. I'd have to read that again. And I was so taken up with his story. There was a woman in their town that was very sick. And the doctors tried to help her, and they said, this is no job for the doctor. She needs a preacher. There's something demonic behind this, something spiritual. And so they called for Pastor Blumhardt. And this woman was so powerfully possessed by the devil. When you read, you can hardly believe the manifestations when you read the book. And Pastor Blumhardt saw that he was really facing a real tremendous battle in the spiritual realm. And so he prayed for her. Every time he prayed for her, she got some help, but not full deliverance. And the more time he spent with her, the worse he realized her condition was. And he got to fasting, he got to praying, he got to studying the Word of God and standing upon the promises. And he said something. He said, when I understood what Jesus did on Calvary, there was something in me that said, there is no reason for this woman to remain bound like this when Jesus won a full victory over every sickness and disease. And he saw God was not being glorified. Jesus paid the price in full. Why should the devil have any part in our lives? And he began to go after that thing for the glory of God. Not just because he had compassion on the woman and wanted to see her suffering relieved, but this had to do with the glory of God. There's no reason why this woman has to remain bound when Jesus paid the price in full for her deliverance and healing. And he insisted. And there came a time when the demon spoke through him, and they said, we're going to stay here because you did not give up. We have to leave. And when they left her body, she cried, Jesus is victor, in German. And they said they heard that from miles around. And there was a tremendous victory that came in a healing. And God raised her up, and she became a humble, loving servant of God. And God used her to minister to others that were in conditions similar to her own. And God opened up a whole ministry of healing for Pastor Blumhardt, and he found it easier to touch God and get healing for people because he had prayed that thing through. But this is for God's glory. Let's remember that. Yes, we want a person healed because we want them to feel better. We love them. We don't want to see them suffer. But it's more than that. It's for the glory of God. And I'm sure we're going to see more healings as the day of Jesus' return draws closer. There's going to be an increase in the life of God. And we are looking for that. We want to put ourselves in the place where we can receive that when it comes. Okay. So let's sing one more song about healing, and then we'll pray. I'm looking for the healing songs. Where were they? The healer, the great physician, healing at the fountain. Let's touch the hem of his garment. That's 136. Praise God.
Let's stand together.
She only touched the hem of his garment as to oh.
God. Now, I've been ministering for, I guess, about 30-something years. And I've said a number of times, there are very few people over those 30-something years that have asked to be anointed with oil. I've often heard this one's in the hospital, this one's sick, and I thought, why didn't they ask to be anointed with oil? That's God's way. We see it clearly in the Bible. Now, you don't ask to be anointed with oil every time you have a little cold or something, unless God puts that in your heart. But we need to be open to God's way of healing. And God says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil, so on. And I'm surprised over the years how relatively few people do that. They do go to the hospital, they get their operation, they get their treatments or whatever, and I'm not finding fault with that. But why not give God every chance first to do that? When I had a stent put in my heart, before I had the stent, I said, well, I got to practice what I preach, so I got anointed with oil, and I still got my stent. But God did something in my soul, I know that, that gave me such peace, and who knows what God kept me from that could have happened, it's not a cop-out. I would have liked to have been healed. I wasn't crazy about going to the hospital and going through that procedure. But I knew it was important to make sure I did all that the Bible instructed me to do as far as coming to the Lord, first of all. And you may be the one that God raises up, and much to the doctor's surprise. Praise God. So, you may be seated. At this point now, our meeting is officially over. If there are staff members that feel they need to leave and they need that time or whatever, feel free to do so. But those that need prayer and those that would like to pray with us, we encourage you to stay because we need your faith. And so I'm going to ask, I'm thinking of Brother Dale, maybe you could help me pray for Sister Gladys, okay? Brother Bob, okay, if you have a moment, just let's come and gather around Sister Gladys, and I'll anoint her with oil, and we'll pray together. Prayer of faith will save a sick. Let's all join together. Believe God for our precious sister. God's done so much for Gladys. We thank God for that. He knows all about her need.
Oh,
surely we have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus, we anoint your sister Gladys with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that that life-giving spirit that dwells within her, that spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, will bring life to her body right now. Will make changes, Lord, to bring her body in line, Lord, and make her well. We pray that you'll touch her, this problem with her feet, her leg. Lord, we pray that you will minister healing to her, Jesus. Deliver her from this continual suffering that she has endured. Yes, for your honor, yes, for your glory, Jesus. We pray that the power of the blood of Calvary will bring forth the very life of Jesus in our sister's body at this time.
Yes, Lord.
We have no power to heal, Lord, and we don't deserve it in our own merit, on our own merit, Lord. But Jesus, you paid it all. And you have provided healing for us on Calvary. And so we just come asking you for the children's bread. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have made promise and you will do it as we just commit ourselves to you. Bless her now, we pray. In Jesus' name, let there be a change. Immediate or gradual, Lord. But Lord, we pray that she shall see that Jesus is making her well every whit whole.
We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood.